We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the RotoWire After Dark Champions League show. So we just wrapped up our Tuesday Champions League slate. Real Madrid just crushed poor Liverpool when it seemed like Liverpool were off to a hot start. Napoli did quite well, as one would expect, in the road game against Frankfurt. We were kind of panicking about the line movement there. You saw my tweet before the show. We have to hold a eulogy. I played a 17 out of 20 Randall Kolo Muani lineups. And, you know, you did your best, Kolo Muani. Maybe next time. Luis, how was your Champions League day? I hope it was better than mine.
I mean, it was going to be a train wreck after 20 minutes of Courtois giving goals away and David Alaba injured early. But, you know, out of my brilliance of playing Di Lorenzo because I couldn't fit anyone else, I broke even. So, hey.
Too sharp.
I get to fight another day. I get to fight tomorrow.
That's all we can hope for. Ryan, I was talking to you earlier, but how was your day? Maybe would you evaluate your decisions?
I'm actually not too disappointed with my decisions. I didn't have a good day. I jammed Alaba like Luis, so that was tough. I didn't have Vinny or Benzema, at least not in my big stuff, so that was tough. But I don't know. You know, we saw Trapp score 17 points and give up 2 goals. You know, we saw 2 horrendous errors by each goalkeeper. I was on the Napoli guys, all of the attackers. I'm not sure I would necessarily change it. I guess we were talking on here yesterday about the Liverpool Madrid game. I don't think any of us really saw it like that. But is that a mistake? Maybe a little bit.
I mean, we saw that maybe Real Madrid have an opportunity, but the game get out of control pretty early because of the goalkeeper mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. I think the game was out of control at the time. I mean, you can predict that. And especially, you know, as you say, you know, Kevin Trapp has to save a PK. I mean, Napoli played beautifully. I mean, they should have won more. And if we think about our decision, both of the forwards who we picked, the Napoli forwards were great. If you went with Lozano instead of Modric, you did well too.
I wanted to ask, well, both you guys, Jackie especially, you know, if they ran this slate tomorrow, would you play TAA?
I didn't play TAA. I played him once.
I know.
So what I'm saying is, was that a mistake? I mean, if we could do it over again, would you play TAA or would you fade him?
To be honest, I did not get to watch the game.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, I see you dressed like that.
Yeah. It was seminar, Jack, this day. So how did TAA do?
I think he finished with like 15.
Yeah, he was okay.
But, you know, he was okay, yeah. I mean, I think he was probably a good play and probably going to be a pretty decent play most times. But, yeah, I don't know.
I asked you a question. If I tell you the result before the game, then Madrid is going to win 5-2, would you play Modric? You probably would, right? And he was a dud.
Yeah, so he even had an assist. He had an assist and still finished with 10 points.
Yeah. So, anyhow, guys. Hey.
Yeah,
it's always good to sulk in the losses in the battle.
Oh, Jack, I like the I know you're just jumping around. I like that you played 85% or whatever, Colomwani. I mean, it doesn't work out all the time. Sometimes you take it on the chin and you just have to get up off the canvas. But I mean, yeah. I like taking a shot like that, because if it hits, you're gonna have a ton of chances to win.
Yeah, I thought the roster ship would be good. If I'm going to be so invested in the Napoli attack, I figured it makes sense to play players along with them that would potentially cause pace up. It's like we saw what happened in the opposite game. I was just on the wrong fixture in that sense. So I would do it again, especially when he was priced exactly what Luka Modric was. I mean, the outcome's terrible. I'll joke about it and take it on the chin, but I don't necessarily regret that decision. The decision I regret, before we get into the slate, Benzema was not as high owned as I thought in tournaments. And had I known what he was coming in, like it was around like between 20 and 30, depending on where you looked, like I thought that was a really good price on the highest, really good, you know, ownership percent on the best goal scoring odds on the slate. So I probably would have tried to figure out a way to play him along with my Napoli guys. Otherwise, I'm pretty happy with my approach. Maybe I should reconsider TAA, watch, you know, a 15-minute condensed version or something.
I was surprised that I thought Benzema would be slightly higher owned than Vinny. And Vinny ended up being higher than Benzema.
Way
so
higher.
I was way higher. Yeah, I was thinking about that too. I saw in the $5 double up, there was like a 19-team train. You know, the train was like 19 ways this time, and they had Vinny Jr. and Darwin Núñez. Interesting, yeah, well, huh?
That's just how life works with the train.
And Trapp. And Kevin Trapp, obviously.
Somebody's selling lineups, man. Who is selling those lineups, honestly?
Don't worry about it. You know, you just look up and you see that the train's there, and it just, you know, it just adds that sprinkle of depression about your cash gameplay. But enough moaning about our decisions this week. It didn't happen. It's daily fantasy. We are moving on to the next slate. And I think it could be a pretty fun slate that we have going on here. So we have Inter, who are playing host to Porto. And if we take a quick look at the odds, Inter, they're playing at home. So they're pretty sizable favorites. I mean, not mega favorites, but they're definitely good favorites, and it's not projected to be a particularly high scoring match. And then Manchester City are traveling, and out of form Manchester City. I saw that in the last five road games, they've only gotten one win, and they're traveling to Red Bull Leipzig in what projects to me as a match that could potentially be quite open, depending on how Manchester City treats it. Luis, I wanted to ask you about these teams. Maybe we can get started with Porto. This is a side who seemed decimated by injuries. I have no idea who's necessarily taking set pieces. It depends on who's starting, because I've seen Andre Franco take some corners, apparently. And we have Estequillo. I pronounced his name wrong. I'm sure he might take some corners. So, Luis, what's your take on these teams? Maybe starting with Porto and going around the ground. Yeah.
So, you know, Inter is in relatively good form. I've won four of the last five matches. They got Lukaku back, which is, you know, good news for them, because Lukaku in shape is a force of nature, especially in Italy, as you have shown. For Porto, it seems like they are coming back to life, but with a lot of changes. Like Andre Franco just transferred for Estoril. Great player. He might be taking some set pieces. I believe he's mostly Eustáquio, which I think I'm saying it right. He's a Canadian Portuguese, probably from the Azores Islands, right? So I think it's mostly the Canadian guy that takes the set pieces, but maybe Otavio plays. He's not supposed to be, but I think he's on the list, right?
He traveled, but he's a doubt.
It's questionable, right? And Wendell sometimes takes some. I will say Eustáquio, but Eustáquio is pricey for the slate, right? So I'm not sure if we want to go that way. I'm with you. I think Porto is just a tough team to score. However, I feel that defense Danis has a 38-year-old Pepe, Ivan Marcano, which is old and slow as well, might be had, right? It's not the same having Mario Grugin, you know, ex-Liverpool guy. I'm stuck. I don't know. I don't like Porto as the current team, but it's the odds of like a low-scoring matchup. I like Inter for the prices as well, but you know, that's the dilemma now. I mean, are you gonna pass on Manchester City attack for getting Lautaro and Lukaku, which is hard, right? So on the other side, well, everybody knows about Manchester City, right? Like, they are strong, they're second, and they're probably going to be champions. I mean, who knows, right? Pep seems to be struggling with the system to play. I think losing Cancelo, when I say losing Cancelo, for some reason, he wasn't happy with Cancelo came back, right? So it's a bit like, are we going to play three on the back? Are we going to play 4-3-3 as usual? I know Kevin De Bruyne didn't travel as well, so that opens opportunity for Mahrez, Foden, right? I don't know who's going to be playing there. Mostly Mahrez, probably on set pieces, you know, probably a good play, even though, you know, we have midfielder forward eligibility now as well. RB Leipzig is in the block, right? He have a chance to win the Bundesliga. Like everybody else, it seems like there are 5-6 teams within 2 points. I mean, obviously Bayern Munich on top, but Bayern Munich decimated with injuries too. I think RB Leipzig without Dani Olmo loses a lot. And but, you know, the times I have seen him play for fantasy, especially Szoboszlai, he hasn't been pretty good lately. So it's, you know, he has set pieces. He's a good set piece taker. But I'm not sure if you want to play any Leipzig guys against Manchester City. Those teams play last year, right, in the group stage. Manchester put 6 goals in Manchester. And the match, I think Leipzig won the match on Germany. But it wasn't, I mean, not even sure if Manchester City really care about that match at the time. So, so saying that, you know, I feel like, you know, for forward, are you going to play Inter guys or are you going to go with Manchester City guys? So it's just going to be the dilemma, I feel.
Yeah, I think it's a tough call because I looked at the Inter prices and Inter seemed price adjusted like good plays, but that's not a projected high scoring match. Whereas we do want equity, maybe pay a little bit more for Manchester City. Ryan, what do you make of Manchester City lately? They've done a lot of tactical changes. Do you have any observations there? And I did bury the lead. Kevin De Bruyne is sick and did not travel with the squad. So we are not so he is not going to be playing tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, just in general, they don't look quite, you know, they don't look as good as they used to. They're clearly, you know, trying to figure it out. I still think they're better with De Bruyne. So, yeah, that match Luis mentioned, City put 6 past them in the first game when it mattered, and then Leipzig won on the last match day when it didn't matter. This Leipzig team, though, maybe without their best 2 attackers, Almo and Nkunku. So, yeah, I don't know how I feel about their chances against City. You know, just in general about Haaland 9,800, you and I, Jack, after the Saturday Premier League slate, we're trying to figure out if we did something wrong, you know, going through a bunch of things. And one thing we didn't really talk about was, I mean, maybe Haaland was the reason we lost playing Haaland in cash games. And Adam chimed in that all the sharp players seem to win. And I went back and looked, and pretty much none of them played Haaland.
I think only one of them did. And a construction very similar to ours opted for Phil Foden instead of Haaland. Just moved some things around.
Yeah, and I remember saying on that podcast, I mean, obviously this is different because it's a 2-game slate instead of a 6-game slate, but that I didn't think it was optimal to play Haaland, but I was just going to if he's going to be, you know, however high owned. But I don't know. Maybe it's not a good play when if he's only going to be 50% owned and doesn't have a floor.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. If you're thinking about playing Erling Haaland on a 6-game slate, there's other people that we can play that potentially could keep up. Maybe on a 2-game slate, we'll feel a little bit more funneled into him just because of the goal scoring odds. And there's just not that many floors to be able to keep up in case he does score. I don't know. It's always a difficult thing when a guy is 70% to score and doesn't. I mean, his median outcome is still scoring a goal. And the outcomes are so binary. It's just so frustrating. Maybe this is a good launching point into talking about, you know, optimal cash type constructions. Even if you don't play cash games, it's good to know how people are going to play those when we make our tournament lineups. And we do have expensive Erling Haaland staring us in the face. Minus 145 to score, that's about 60%. So there you go, even with the vig, that's about a median outcome we're expecting him to score a goal. Luis, when you're thinking about cash game type constructions or optimal play at the forward position, Are you clicking Erling Haaland and moving on, or are you maybe considering Inter attackers and playing set piece takers for Manchester City? What's your approach to the forward position looking like?
Yeah, I think, you know, what you say about Haaland is true, right? Like, you have a, I mean, on the weekend he's playing Nottingham Forest, right? So it's just how are you not going to play Haaland against one of the weakest teams in the league, right? Yeah, he didn't score, but he scores two, which is normal. You win, right? So, and here I'm gonna say I'm hesitant to play Haaland just because of the price tag, and I feel, I mean, obviously it's just a matter of feel, right? I don't know more than the bookies, right? That the bookies leave out of their odds, but I think Haaland against Guardiola and Willy Orban is a tougher matchup than what Lukaku has against Pepe and Marcano, especially Lukaku. If he's playing with the form, I think he is. I mean, he's getting back in shape. I mean, I have a hard time playing Haaland over Lukaku. Even if you see the odds, I think the odds of Lukaku scoring is around 40%. So if you see, you should consider pricing, right? Like, yeah. So if you consider the pricing, right, like 6,000 for Lukaku, and you know, you can do the price per percentage out of score. I mean, you're the mathematician, Jack, not me. So you can probably figure that out, right? So, and I think, I mean, for my in my place, I'm
looks like we're losing Louise a little bit for a moment.
Oh, sorry.
So Louise, I think we've lost.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, no worries.
Let me just.
Well, Ryan, while Louise gets that sorted out, why don't you chime in about what you're thinking about the forward position? Do you kind of agree with Louise's thoughts about, you know, kind of just comparison on a cost adjusted basis, Lukaku as a discount version of Haaland?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I wouldn't want to play Lukaku either. I mean, he doesn't have a floor, not in cash games at least. I mean, he doesn't have a floor. I doubt he plays 90 minutes. But also, it's really because, I mean, look at Lautaro Martinez. I don't know if you've seen, but he's started 6 games since the World Cup, and he's taken 30 shots in those games.
I noticed he's been racking up shots.
He's averaging 5 shots per game, and he plays 90, and he plays 90 minutes most of the time. I mean, that's not – those shot numbers, that's not like a fluke.
No.
I don't know. So I think, like, I'm okay fading Haaland. I don't know. Like, you're going to play Mahrez, right? 8,600 and taking set pieces. So, I mean, to me, I don't really like the idea of playing both of them in cash games. I mean, you can. I don't know. What do you think, Jack?
I was just making a dummy lineup. I haven't really thought about the slate from a DFS perspective, but my first move was just to put in Haaland just because of his goal scoring odds on a 2-game slate. It feels like a, I don't know, it's like the chalk decision to do. I can evaluate it later. And then Lautaro really did stick out to me just because it seems like he has a good floor. I expect Inter should have possession, and he should be in a position where he can start racking up shots. I think he's a really good play. And this is, I don't like touting Lautaro Martinez. He somehow always frustrates me, but you know, we're trying to be a statistically focused podcast here. And I think he, I think he looks good for that role right there. And yeah, I mean, Riyad Mahrez is just a really good play as well. I have him in a midfield slot currently, but I'm also kind of left a little bit of a barbell construction, which I don't necessarily care for. So I'll be looking at ways to pivot off of Haaland and potentially look at other options at other positions, especially if you can play Mahrez and Foden. You can survive one Erling Haaland goal in cash, even if he's popular.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say that if you put Haaland on, I'm sorry, guys, I had to, my computer froze to death for some reason. I will say, yeah, my problem with Haaland is like, is the lineup construction gets really difficult with him, right? So, but we'll see what you guys do.
No, yeah. But just in general, like, who's going to take the set pieces with KDB not there? Is it Grealish or Gundogan?
No, it's been Mahrez and Grealish and Foden, right? So it's usually Foden and Mahrez, right? And then Grealish has been taking when De Bruyne doesn't play. But if I think that's the pecking order, if I'm correct. So
I mean, yeah, Foden hasn't been playing. I think it's been like Grealish splitting, right?
But Foden took four corners, I think, in their most recent Premier League matchup. It looks
yeah,
like
when Foden plays, he takes, right?
Right. Sorry, I guess I'm not expecting Foden to play. Are we expecting Foden to play?
We have him in our projected 11 right now, but this is worth
talking
about.
My bad.
I think it's
going
to be Bernardo Silva. I mean, if I have to guess, it's going to be Bernardo Silva instead of Kevin De Bruyne, right? I think it's going to be Grealish and Mahrez on the wings, Haaland up front, midfield three of Rodri, with Gundogan, Silva. Then I don't know if he's going to be the defense of four or defense of three. I think it's going to be Walker, Nathan Ake, left back, and then Ruben Diaz and Laporte or the other guy. The other guy
Akanji, I think Laporte is out.
Oh, what is the guy's name? Yeah, I forgot his name.
Manuel Akanji from Dortmund.
That was Dortmund, not Leipzig. Look at me. I'm getting old, man.
That's the lineup that I was thinking. I mean, obviously, you know, Pep's been doing different stuff lately in different formations. I was thinking that 4-3-3 with Rodri, Gundogan, Silva, and then Grealish, Mahrez, Haaland. Foden starts, it's a different story. But obviously, if Foden doesn't start, do you want Grealish with set pieces? We shouldn't jump to midfield, but I mean, you know, it's going to...
He's been okay. He seems to be a good chemistry, but with Haaland, but I'm not sure. I don't like Grealish, but also his price a little bit higher than usual, so...
Yeah, I don't know, like... He would seem pretty good to me, to be honest. It's weird. I've come around. Like, he seems to play 90 more often than any of the other guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's been good lately. He has a high floor, especially when he takes corners.
Yeah, he's been in favor with the team and Pep Guardiola lately. So I'm inclined to agree. I mean, if you're not playing Erling Haaland, I feel like you're doing that so you can play another Manchester City attacking piece. You don't want to fade at Manchester City goals in that setting. And in that case, Jack Grealish does make sense, especially even if we expect him to take a few corners. If it projects to be an open game as well, he scores plenty from open play. I think it's fine if you told me that it was like a three-way split of corners. Grealish would still be an intriguing play in that case. So that's a good point, Ryan.
I know I jumped around a little bit, but if that was the lineup, like I find it hard not to play Mahrez, Lautaro, Grealish, Çalhanoğlu as just like my top four pieces. I mean, the set pieces for Man City, Lautaro, and I don't know. But then there's obviously the question of Haaland. Of course, he's a fine play, but I don't know. That's just what I was thinking.
But the thing is, this is one thing I noticed when building Haaland lineups. I found it very difficult to get up to Mahrez and Çalhanoğlu, and you were sacrificing. And so, you know, when you play Haaland and then in your utility spot, you have to play, you know, Brozovic or you have to play Nico Barea, you don't really feel as good. So the balance construction does especially have merits. I mean, again, Haaland is -145 to score. It's not the most likely outcome that he does get a brace.
Yeah, there is a way to get to Haaland, but it's tough. Sometimes I feel you sacrifice a lot. You will have to play Porto fullbacks on defense and on utility, I think. So
yeah.
Maybe you can play Andre Franco for 3,700.
I was about to ask.
I like him. He's a good player, man. Maybe he's a wild card. I'm with you there. I'm intrigued by him. He was amazing on Estoril. You know, he's jumping right in the Porto lineup. It's very good. So
yeah, some of these cheap Porto forwards available. So I did spot some of them are not in the cheat sheet, but where do I have them right here? Yeah, Andre Franco is 3,700. Tony Martinez, I think, is playing well. He's 4,100 and he's also forward eligible. Evan Nielsen's a doubt, but he's 5K. I mean, if you play Haaland, you can maybe consider punting off with one of these guys in your utility spot, and they should have some goal equity. And I don't know, are Inter the type of team that are just going to, you know, get 65% possession against Porto, or do you think Porto could end up getting some corners and some shots on goals in this fixture? Because that impacts the quality of the punt plays at forward.
I think Porto, I mean, Porto is a tough team to beat. I mean, it's not they're going to have possession, but they're definitely going to have opportunities enough to deliver value. I mean, not like, I mean, Inter is not like a complete lockdown, dominant possession team. So I see Porto, and Porto is usually pretty good at creating opportunities from set pieces. They were when Oliveira was there, and they still are. So, you know, it's, I mean, for those prices, it's something that you can take a swing, right? So just if you want to play Haaland, obviously. So
yeah, just in general, the question for me was, you know, if you're trying to win the big GPP, would you rather take a shot on Porto or Leipzig?
Porto.
I agree. I feel more inclined to take a shot on Porto just because Leipzig they're so hurt right now, especially including some of their most attacking pieces. At the same time, I do feel like Manchester City are vulnerable to the attack. They have not had good road form. And if this, and because we're not expecting Kunku to start, Emil Forsberg, who's 4,900, would be taking penalties. So there are some quality punt off options that you could play from either of these sides. I like Porto more, but I mean, a Forsberg penalty 20% of the time, maybe that happens. I don't know. That sounds like a good shout.
I like Porto more in general, but just like looking at the two spots, you know, Leipzig have to score goals at home. I mean, they just have to have a prayer. Whereas like Porto would love to come out of Italy 0-0. I don't know.
But the point is the price, right? Like Forsberg is 4,900 and you know, Tony Martinez is 37, right? 4,000. So that's the thing. Like those 700 matters, right? For a
point. I think I read, not that it really matters. Well, I mean, they're both cheap. Tony Martinez might even be, might have even picked up an injury over the weekend. I think he's a doubt. I saw that this 3,500 Daniel Namaso might start.
I heard good things about him. English. I don't know much about it.
No, I don't know either. Apparently he's English.
Might be Marcus Edward too, right?
Right.
Well, maybe he'd be like the David Fofana play last weekend, although not on a favorite, where you just throw the starting four, just 3,500 in and shake the mystery box and hope it works out for you. Yeah, with a lot of these Porto guys, I think it's going to depend on formation. But any other takeaways about the forward position? Anything we potentially didn't cover?
I am the only one that likes Lukaku. That's a good spot to be, I think.
Do you think he's going to be... I've seen that in his game log, he plays like 66 minutes a game. So maybe one frustrating thing about Lukaku is that if he gets subbed on for Edin Dzeko in the game...
Well, he's getting back in shape, right? He looks a little bit overweight. I'm not going to say fat because he's a big guy, but but he does take penalty kicks and he is huge. And you know, he's going to play, you know... You know what Lukaku likes to do? He likes to go against the fullback on the left side so he can cross inside and shoot with his right foot. And the guy on the left is either Wendell or Sanusi. Those guys are small. So, I mean, if you can punt the ball to Lukaku, he's gonna get it 90% of the time. So, you know, I'm definitely the playing time is a concern. But God, I mean, for 6,000, I mean, you get a guy that has PKs, a favorite at home. Like Inter is a decent favorite. So I don't know. I mean, I might be living in the past, I guess, because he's really old and he's definitely out of shape. But
so if you spend your two forward spots on Mahrez and Lautaro, would you just for your flair piece?
I will do Lukaku and Lautaro or maybe Mahrez on midfield or something like that. I will always play Mahrez. I got caught when I say I have a sentimental thing for Mahrez. Whenever I play him, I win money. So, you know, I always want to play him. So
the opposite of Luis and Mahrez, I think. Or sorry, the opposite of Jack. The opposite of Jack and Mahrez.
I am always like in perpetuity giga tilted by Riyad Mahrez, but maybe if I just tail you, Luis, at least we'll both have to suffer together.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like Lautaro seems the more mobile and the potential, you know, beneficiary of Lukaku, you know, taking those balls down. But you know, I mean, Inter have decent dead ball players, right? Like Çalhanoğlu and Di Marco, if he plays. I mean, those guys are good. And, you know, I feel Porto defense is quite weak. I think the team is inexperienced. So, you know, you get an old dude like Lukaku, and they can really wreak havoc there. But you know, then just gonna be injured at the third 20 minutes like usual. But you know, I mean, I'm with you. I think Man City is gonna be more popular. Maybe Inter is more for GPP, for being contrarian. And you can obviously play Porto with City, so I'm not sure. I mean, I think probably Haaland Mahrez is going to be popular. Lautaro Mahrez is probably going to be the most popular. So, you know, if you want to deviate for that, get one of the Porto guys and then Haaland, or get Lukaku and Lautaro. So see what happens. So.
I mean, you could play Mehdi Taremi for 8,100, who is very much overpriced. The pay up to be contrarian spots of the slate, him or Andre Silva, I guess, at 7,700.
Yeah, just ridiculous. Sometimes, I mean, I guess they just forgot to update the salaries and then just took the last lay on Champions League and do 10% up and down, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they must not have been taken into. Yeah, I don't know. It's bizarre pricing. You know, go ahead if you want. I'm not going to recommend it though. Let's pivot down into midfield, where we already had a lot of questions. So, you know, I was talking as if Phil Foden was starting, and that might not happen. I was mistaken that he was projected in there. But yeah, we'll have Jack Grealish. Will he take some set pieces? He seems to be playing 90 minutes lately, and he's in really good form for Manchester City. I think we do expect that game to be an open game as well. Yeah. Luis, I agree with you. Dominic Szoboszlai, he has not been too impressive lately in league. David Raum's been taking more set pieces as well, and he's too expensive in a game where Leipzig aren't going to be possessing the ball. So does that leave us with the best play at midfield to be Hakan Çalhanoğlu?
I think so.
So what else are we looking to do at the midfield position? Are we going to spend up twice? Is that the plan? Or what other plays do we like in this area? Ryan, what do you think about the midfield position?
Yeah, Çalhanoğlu seems like a lock pretty much, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, price-wise and slate-wise, he definitely
– Yeah, take, you know, Inter at home as favorites in a good spot. His game log looks pretty good. He's been shooting, crossing. He seems to play longer than he used to, at least recently. Grealish, yeah, I mean – I would like Grealish in that, if that's the lineup. I mean, he's basically Kevin De Bruyne for 8,200. I mean, from a fantasy perspective, maybe not quite as good, but we know he has a floor besides set pieces as well. So, yeah, I would want to play Grealish. I think for tournaments, I think Gundogan's a really good tournament play. Yeah, Gundogan specifically, I think recently he's been getting far forward and playing in a more attacking role, and you just always see him showing up in the box. I mean, he's getting on the end of crosses. He's playing 1-2s with these guys. So, yeah, I think 5,900 for is a good play. Yeah, I don't know. Besides that, like, I don't know who's going to line up on the right for Inter. I know we have Darmi in there, but it might be Denzel Dumfries for 5,200. I think he'd be a good player to pair with Lukaku or pair with Lautaro. Or you can just play him by himself. I mean, he scores goals as well.
Yeah. Goal-dependent wingback. The goal-dependent wingback.
and a yellow card machine, unless that stopped after the World Cup. I was curious about Nico Barea's role. I've played him in GPPs before. Luis, do you think that he would be a good option? How is he fitting tactically with Inter? Do you think he has GPP upside?
He definitely has upside. He's similar to what Ryan mentioned with Gundogan, which I agree totally. Gundogan is that guy that fills the space in the box between Haaland and the midfielder. So he always catches some rebounds there, some crosses there. So Barella is a similar guy. So, you know, it's like he's a guy that's gets to the box often, pretty much like a box-to-box midfielder with some upside. I felt his price was a little bit high. I don't remember now because my computer crashed, but I think it was a little bit higher than I wanted, but I don't know what is the price now.
5,700.
Yeah, it's not bad, though. I heard, and also maybe Mkhitaryan plays. I mean, Not a bad place. I would think, to play Barella, why not give it a chance to Eustaquio or give it a chance to you know, the new Estoril guy, I forgot his name, Andre Ramos, I think. So I will give it a chance to those guys over Barella, but Barella is a great GPP play, as you mentioned. It's the same with Dumfries, right? All those, if you're playing Inter a lot, I mean, put Barella in, and it's not a bad idea to for the salary, right? So
yeah,
I like Barella for tournaments.
Yeah,
I'm on board with that. Yeah, he has goals in him.
Yeah,
I like Stacky. I mean, honestly, he's like a Oliveira type, right? He seems to get there.
Honestly, yeah, I do too. I think he's sneaky. I just don't know if people will necessarily play him. And you could see him on the winner of a GPP lineup with 11 or 12 points. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, this midfield position isn't particularly strong. We like Jack Grealish, but he's liable to score 7 or 8 points only if he doesn't get any sort of return. Çalhanoğlu could be subbed off at the 70th minute. He did sub on in league last week, so it seems like he's prepared to go, you know, a long run out there. But I think that's a really good point, Ryan. You know, play a set piece taker on a slate where the other not many other people have to fail for him to be in the optimal
Especially, imagine if, you know, you play him with Lukaku or Lautaro, and if one of them score early, I mean, Luis mentioned with Oliveira, you saw it all the time with Oliveira, you could see Eustáquio end up with the most amount of floor points on the slate in certain situations, you know, in certain game scripts.
Is there anyone cheap that's playable? My impression is that it might be a little bit of a mistake if you're punting down and you have to play Marcelo Brozovic or some of these other defensive midfielders. Yeah. Any of these guys have a pulse, though, that we could be interested in?
Brozovic without set pieces is just not viable. Don't go there. I mean, again, we talk about the Porto guy. If you want to be cute, you know, play Andre Ramos or one of those guys on midfield, you know, under 4,000. But, I mean, Brozovic doesn't seem like a good idea. Rodri is always, he always has the great fantasy points, but it's just, he can go either way. So I just rather go secure with, you know, Grealish and Çalhanoğlu, maybe get with Eustáquio or Otavio, whoever plays, right? And I think it's going to be Eustáquio most surely with set pieces, but, you know. Not too much space to get cute here for cash. I think just go save.
Yeah, and if you need a punt, maybe use one of these Porto options, who's also forward eligible, just because that has much more upside than these other options.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, why don't we move on to defender then? So in the cheat sheet, Federico DeMarco's listed as midfielder, but he's defense eligible and he splits set pieces with Çalhanoğlu. I mean, I find him almost unavoidable to play. If there's a lock button player on the slate, I don't want... Brian, we talked about this last week. We have a set piece taker on a big favorite in a two-game slate. I'll just pay up for him, and I dare the field to punt. I think I can make up the salary elsewhere. Is this slate looking to be something like that?
Yeah, I think it's that easy, to the point where, you know, I was looking at DeMarco's game log, and you figure him for only 70, 75 minutes, but even with that, he's still a lock. I think it's just like, even if you told me that DeMarco is going to get subbed at 70 minutes, I think you'd still have to play him, because I mean, he's still going to get you 10 points and maybe an assist and maybe a goal. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you. I agree.
Yeah, DeMarco is easy lock to me. He's a volume player. You know, as you say, he might not play 90, but, you know, that usually means that Inter is winning fine. Also, I feel that, you know, DraftKings, it did they have the old defense pricing, right? I think he's 5,600. You know, if you've seen a normal slay, he probably hit 8,000, 7,000. So, you know, they keep the old pricing when they have a ceiling for defenders. So that's, you know, I think he's underpriced. So, you know, you just play and forget. So.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. So one defender spot is easy. The second defender spot, perhaps not so easy. Rico Lewis, we joke, he seems to have a knack for racking up fouls, but 4,500 is a bit much to pay for a defensive midfielder, it seems. Some of these portal fullbacks are cheap. Wendell sometimes takes corners.
Yeah.
What do you want to do for your second defender position? Ryan, are we just going to play like a center back and then...
Sorry. I think you can play whoever you want. Like, None of the guys really stick out as priorities. I probably play a City. I was just going to play a City guy. Maybe you play Nathan Aké at left back for 36. Maybe you play Akanji for 3K. He's the cheapest. I think that's fine. I also don't mind if you just absolutely need it. Just pay 2,600 for Pepe. He'll get you a shot on goal. Maybe a yellow card too, but yeah, I don't know. I didn't have like a priority for second defender. Did you?
No, I'm with you guys. I think I'm leaning towards João Mario just because he's on the other side of Lukaku. And also I've seen that now that you say that Antonio Martinez is injured, they might have to play him on the wing. So, you know, very low risk. It's very underpriced. But if you need money, I mean, you can go play Pepe. I'm with you. I think second defender is, don't give too much thought about it. It can be anyone. I just, you know, whoever you play might give you points or might not. It doesn't seem to be a clear cut. I mean, any of these guys can score from 0 to 4 points. That's it. And maybe one of them gets to A because you have to attack, but you don't know which one is going to be. Obviously, expecting a goal for Aké is not going to happen, or Walker. So just rather play a City center back or you know, whatever you can fit. I'm with Ryan here. I'm just, don't overthink it. Just keep that spot open, and we'll fill your lineup, and then just click on the name you like that you can afford. So
yeah, I guess my one question was, maybe I can play Francesco Acerbi, you know, play him with Çalhanoğlu, because at least that makes correlative sense. If he scores a goal on a set piece, you know, that very small outcome. But I was wondering, like, Vindel's only $400 more, and it feels good on DraftKings to play a fullback, even if they're an underdog. Does he get forward enough? Could I imagine three crosses, maybe a chance created for him? Is that within the range of outcomes, or is he going to be defending?
No, he shouldn't be defending. It's just going to be, I mean, is bringing, I don't know how to, they are not a good analogy. I mean, you see TAA today. I mean, they didn't make it defend a lot. It just didn't work out. But, you know, he has to go forward. So,
yeah.
I think so. So,
yeah, Jack, I would like to play Wendell, and I was looking at Wendell. And, you know, we were talking about, maybe I look too much into this stuff, but he just seems to get subbed early. I'm trying to look right now. The last start, he went 74. The one before, he went 59. I just remember the last time we played him in the Champions League, he got subbed early as well. Half-time, he got subbed in the 63rd. He got subbed in the 63rd. We tried playing him when we thought he was going to take corners. I mean, because they have Sanusi there who might even start. I don't mind it, but it's like, it's why I don't really like him. If I thought he could play 90, I would like him more.
That's a good point.
But again, you said though, sometimes I get myself into trouble like that, and then you show up in this, the guy plays 90, and you're like, man, what am I doing trying to predict minutes?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, 75 might be enough sometimes.
Yeah, it's true. You're right. Yeah. Game. Especially for that price. I mean, whatever he is, 3,300.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan, for me, what it works is I do this on my head. Like, all right, so Wendell is, what it is, at 3,500, right?
33.
So the cheapest guy you can get is Pepe at 2,600. So you have 700 to get a goalkeeper, right? So I just do that. I do that trade-off. So do I want Wendell and Porto goalkeeper, or do I want Pepe and Ederson? I mean, I know it's not the same, but it's like, well, you know, I think Ederson might get 10 points. The defender, anything can happen. So that's what I try to do. I mean, most of the time I fail, but, you know, like.
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
It's just, no, that, you know, win, like, is worth 5 points. So it is worth chasing if you're talking about players with a 1 or 2 point floor difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Courtois gave it 5 points today. It was awesome.
I think, you know, just to mention him, I think Rahm is a decent tournament play if nobody's going to play him.
I'm with you there.
I don't know what his ownership would be. I don't know. Maybe people play him too much, but I don't know. Maybe if people weren't going to play him, there's upside for him splitting set pieces. And I know it's City, but like, just the defender position is so weak. I mean, there's certain slates where if he scored you 10 points, that'd be pretty good. Maybe he gets an assist.
Yeah, the payoffs might be there if you play a David Raum. And if, you know, Haaland is going to be popular and people are going to be spending up at four of their main attacking spots, That's just going to be leverage by construction right there if you're willing to pay David
Raum. You know, maybe it's wishful thinking by me, but I can see, you know, City not being so dominant. I don't know. Is that just wishful thinking? They've sort of struggled a little lately, and now they don't have KDB, and I don't know.
It can happen, yeah. And Pep usually is conservative on the first match in Champions League. Like he tries not to lose the game. So yeah, it can happen. So.
I was just thinking about it because, you know, we were talking about forward Luis and going with Lukaku and the Inter guys. They're just two Inter forwards, Lukaku and Martinez. And I can see scenarios where Haaland doesn't get there. Even one goal from Haaland doesn't beat you. You know, he doesn't have a floor. I don't know. It just, maybe it's wishful thinking, but
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, David Raum gets an assist. You're going to need that, especially if all the other defenders are jockeying around 3 or 4 points or something like that. It's an interesting angle. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see how the starting 11s look. Raum might not even start. We might have Simikan or Klosterman start. So I saw that they might be rotating the fullback. So maybe it's a moot point, but I think these are the things that you want to end up thinking about. So, Luis, for goalkeeper, so Ederson's your lock button, guaranteed win clean sheets based on your earlier comments.
But I like the Porto guy, but if I'm playing Inter, I'll try to go Ederson if I can. I just don't see, I mean, Leipzig looks kind of weak, but I don't know. Manchester City scares me. You know, you never know what they do, and Ederson can give you -3 easily, so... Or, you know, yeah. like 3 points, like a one shot on goal and like win. So
he never gets any saves. Yeah, he concedes a goal and then just makes a few passes, and you see you have 3 points and you paid a lot for him. That's a very tilting.
I mean, I'm gonna say like Ryan said yesterday. I'm expecting to talk about goalkeeper for a minute. I don't know. I mean, I'm. I know Inter is favorite. I don't trust Onana. I never did. he seems like a wild guy. I feel like I don't want to play anyone, but I have to play someone. So I'm going to play the Porto guy because it's the cheapest one. And they have good defense and maybe I get some shots. But honestly, I mean, this is the worst goalkeeper of the worst of, you know, which is something to say, right?
Truly impressive.
I mean, yesterday we were debating if you could even click Kevin Trapp's name, and look what happened. He was the highest scoring keeper on the slate.
Click, yeah.
And he conceded 2 goals, and he was still the best keeper on the slate. So, I mean, just play whoever you want. I mean, I would like to spend up on this slate. I would like Onana or Ederson.
All right.
I wish I trusted my Giga Brain self and played a little bit more Trap. Unfortunately, I was playing quite a bit of Alisson there. But yeah, it's always viable on a 2-game slate. I mean, it's, you know, none of the teams keep a clean sheet. You probably just want to be the person who spends the least amount. I trust Onana in cash games. I mean, homekeeper against a team not likely to score goals. Fingers crossed. Hopefully it works out. And it probably won't. That's just the nature of the game. I think we basically covered all the positions and all the main plays. We've kind of hinted at some tournament strategies right here. I mean, maybe we can make some speculations. Do we think Haaland is going to be particularly popular? One thing I was juggling with my mind is that people might be getting frustrated with Erling Haaland. You know, early in the season, he was just scoring goals at will. And now he's blanked a few times in expensive spots for us. So do you think the field's going to react to that, or the field is just going to see Erling Haaland must click and move on?
I think the field is, I think, people are getting frustrated, like you said. I mean, I'm super frustrated. But I think most of the field will be like too scared not to click him still. So, I mean, I don't see how he's not popular on a 2-game slate. He's got to be the most popular. I don't know. That's what I think. I guess we'll see.
I think Mario's going to be the most popular just because Kevin De Bruyne. But, but I'm with you. I think the field want to click on Haaland, but that means making weird decisions elsewhere, right? Because if you go Haaland, Mahrez, Grealish, which is the guys you know, then what are you going to do? You're going to put the two City center backs and Inter guys? I guess you could, right? I mean, I haven't done the construction, but, you know, if you go full City, you're going to have to rely on some random guys from Porto to to make your lineup. So I don't know. I think that, I mean, playing Haaland puts you in trouble. I think the salary is high. So, I mean, I'm going to say he's going to be popular, obviously, because he's City. But, I mean, instead of like 40% on, maybe he's going to be on the 30s.
Yeah, maybe. A tournament point of view I like is because when I did have to put Manchester City players in a lineup, I did have to resort to using Porto players. So maybe one thing that you can do is you can play Porto players intentionally when you're playing other Inter players. That has the in-game correlation as well. And even if the Porto players get used, they're probably with City players. So you get that double benefit if City fail. That's at least how I see it. And hey, if the guys are cheap and they score a goal at the end of the day, they're cheap and they score a goal for you. So there you go.
No, that's a good point.
I think I gave away my GPP gold star plays right there. You know, maybe focusing on one of these Porto low owned guys. Maybe we can conclude with picking one of our guys that we like, maybe under the radar player. Ryan, who's a sneaky play that you think you'll end up relying on for tournaments in this slate?
I don't know if there is a sneaky play that I would.
It's a two gamer, yeah.
Oh,
or maybe a weird game script that you think could happen that's worth playing for.
Yeah, okay. You know, I guess I'll stick with, I'm trying to speak it into existence, City struggling. So you know, you might see me with some of the Leipzig keeper, and then maybe the lineup. Maybe it has either Mahrez or Grealish just for the floor, but maybe that's my only City piece. Maybe I'll try to get different. I'm not going to do that in like my main build. I don't know. Just it's tough to come up with a sneaky play for me on this slate. Some of the decisions seem pretty straightforward with who I want to play. You know, I like some of these midfielders, like DeMarco, like going to like an Inter forward. So, I mean, it's tough. But in the main GPP, I'll try to do different things like that. In the main GPP, I don't mind taking a chance on, I mean, you mentioned Taremi. That's probably not going to be me, but I don't mind Andre Silva or Szoboszlai. They're the same price. I mean, just taking a chance. I don't know. It's tough on these two-game slates. You know, you got one team up against City and then the other team, Porto, with a total under one on the road in Italy. I mean, it's not great spots for these underdogs. You're definitely taking chances, you know, so to speak, gambling.
Yeah, that's what we love to do.
Yeah, I have nothing to say. I'm gonna keep saying Lukaku. I was gonna say if you put Andre Silva, you probably beat me. That's the only player I haven't mentioned, and he always beats me. But you mentioned Andre Silva, so I mean, I think there's no one else we haven't talked about. Somebody from the bench, right? Like, hey.
Edin Dzeko. So I'll see your Romelu Lukaku and play Edin Dzeko off the bench. Right. Well, we've covered this for 50 minutes. There's going to be a lot that we're going to have to adjust to, and these 11s come out anyways. So, you know, feel free to do the RotoWire soccer trial. There's a link in the YouTube. And come join us, you know, get all the cheat sheet information. It saves you so much time. And come chat with us in the Discord. I think it's a really fun place to hang out. So, yeah, we'll just leave it at that. You know, let's just get back onto it. If you didn't do so well today, you can always do better tomorrow. That's the best thing about DFS. So good luck in those slates tomorrow. We hope to see you in the Discord, and we hope to see you later this week as we cover the Premier League. But good luck, everybody.
Good luck, guys. Hey, sorry, guys.